Rockies 102.9, The Hog presents another Bob and Brian podcast.
This Bob and Brian On Demand is brought to you by Mountain Dew. Mountain Dew exhilarates and quenches with its one-of-a-kind great taste. Mountain Dew, this is how we do.
It's the most wonderful time of the year.
Can be. Magical moments, children's eyes, biggest saucers when they open those presents,
families, drinking,
then you throw a little alcohol in there, some old feuds, whatever.
Yep.
And you've got holiday horror stories. Send them in. Go to 1029thehog.com. If you haven't done it, I suggest doing it by the end of business
really
today.
It.
That's for sure. Yeah, get those into us. If Brian reads yours on the air, which we have done all week long, this is day 4 of 5. You're qualified to win the grand prize. It's a $1,000 gift card from Nye's Hardware Gallery and Steinhoffels. So, there you go.
All right. Ready?
Carrie, you ready?
Yes, I'm so ready.
Kill the music. Here we go. Go ahead and kill it, because...
You just want it dead?
Yeah.
Just
drag it away.
Just there that? Just the dead?
Because when it comes to editing these things for the album, you never know. Here we go. 20 years ago, my sister and I went to spend Christmas with my dad down in Chicago. It's what we usually did with his newest girlfriend of the day.
Newest.
Yeah.
That's...
Red flag.
Yep. That makes it sound like, dad went through them pretty good.
Right.
The last Christmas that we did this, we went to his house. It was fully furnished and decorated as if an old lady lived there, including pictures of family members and everything. I was too young to think of my dad as a squatter. As the night went on and our usual dinner at Bennigan's was over and my dad was a few cocktails in, we exchanged gifts. After giving him a sweatshirt from my sister's college and some Christmas socks, his face turned and he erupted about how we thought he was a joke and on and on.
Wait, just out of nowhere?
Well,
no,
they gave
out
him
of
a,
cocktails.
A sweatshirt and some socks, and he was, a couple cocktails
out of
in.
Alcohol, Bob.
When he then dropped us at the train station very early the next morning, he made us take the gifts back, and he wouldn't accept them. We have not spent another Christmas with him since then.
Ooh,
I'm looking for more story. That's all.
He
there
didn't
is
go
there.
To college or something, and the college.
Wow,
him, I don't know.
So. There's more to that story somewhere, but
yeah, he should lay off the booze too.
2017, yes, this year, I was talking to one of my hockey buddies about a mouse problem I had at his house. He had the mouse problem. It did turn cold in November and forced the mice into his house early. I thought I may have a similar problem and decided to set a few traps myself. I caught 4 mice the first day, 2 in the house,
jeez,
2 in the garage, and then none the next 4 days. All is well. With thoughts of decorating our house and the family tree, I lugged the plastic totes containing the Christmas decorations from the garage and into the living room. You are right to be suspicious.
Well, you've got my attention.
As I set the totes on the carpet, I heard the faint sound resembling popping popcorn thumping off the top of the pot cover. Thump, thump, thump. I paid no real attention and began to open the tote. The pungent scent of urine hit me in the face like a wet rag, and then 10, 20, maybe 50 mice exploded from the tote like popcorn.
Oh! Whoa!
I leapt back, and then from the tote, avoiding mice running down my shirt while trying to stomp one or two along the way.
Stomp!
As I stepped back, I saw mice running into every nook, cranny, and corner of our house.
Oh.
Apparently, the mice found refuge in the tote because I wrapped all the ornaments in paper, which they shredded for their own mouse condo. Time to set more traps.
How about calling a pest control company?
That's a horror story for
don't
sure.
You take everything and just throw it away, right? You don't
yes.
try and, yeah.
But now I'm spending the holidays knowing there's a mouse in every single corner of
50,
my house?
He said.
10, 20, 50.
Yeah.
Christmas 2016. My non-political and reserved but conservative-leaning mother-in-law mentions to me, nobody else, after dinner, how she's happy that Donald Trump won the election.
couple of sherries in, she shares that.
Yeah.
From an entirely different room, my liberal sister-in-law screams, "Are you saying that poor people are stupid?" followed by an F you and slamming the door as she storms out, leaving her family there. Quite emotional.
Tolerant.
Her husband, my brother-in-law, also a liberal, starts spouting liberal talking points to which anything that anyone says to counter his points gets an, well, F you in response.
Oh, my God.
I finally ended the tirade by saying, anyone who says the F word in front of my 8-year-old daughter again is going to get it from me. My sister-in-law finally came back and apologized that night. I might just bring up the tax cuts to poke the bear this Christmas.
Oh, my God. You know what you're walking into. You know what you're walking into.
Or just announced the Christmas presents got a little better this year.
Right.
Thanks to the tax cuts from President Trump.
OMG.
Yeah, don't do that. Just try and keep it politic free.
Several years ago, my girlfriends at the time, mother passed away the first week of December. Going through this hard time, she told me she didn't want anything to do with Christmas. And I took it to mean no parties, etc., which is understandable. On Christmas Eve, she had to work, and I found myself in her apartment on the couch, staring at a blank wall, not one Christmas decoration. I had enough and thought I'd give her a Christmas that she deserves. I went out and bought an 8-foot Christmas tree, lights and ornaments. $400 later, she arrived. I got everything all decorated. It was beautiful. I even bought some popcorn so we could snuggle on the couch and have some corn in front of the tree. Couldn't wait till she got home.
What a good guy.
I told you.
When she walked in the door, her mouth dropped and she put her head down.
Oh, jeez.
Now, I thought she was crying, so with my arms, I went to give her a hug. Come here, baby. Halfway to her, she picked up her head. Her eyes pierced my soul and yelled, who the F is going to clean up this mess? Apparently not a fan of needles on the floor, so that's what she was staring at. Now I'm in a fight or flight mode. I quietly said, I will. Walked in the kitchen, put the bag of popcorn in the microwave, set it for 20 minutes, went over to my beautiful tree, grabbed it by the neck, and dragged it out the door.
Wait a minute, he set a bag of popcorn for 20 minutes?
20 minutes, went over to my beautiful tree, grabbed it by the neck, and dragged it out the door. For a more dramatic effect, I ripped the cord out of the wall with the tree, and out the door I went, never to return.
Oh, my God. And then the house reeks like burnt popcorn. Mm-hmm.
Wow, that went from, I'm going to give her a special Christmas.
Right.
Just right to, that's it, we're done. In seconds.
In seconds, he
did this.
I like him.
He didn't need a day to think about this or a couple hours. Because you know what I should have done was just drag that tree out the door. He just did it.
How much time we got?
You're good.
Okay, here's a short one. Should be read in the record. Every year we get together with my wife's side of the family. So every year I have to spend 4 hours with my sister-in-law on purpose. Mm. That's the letter. That's all there is.
Yep. That's happening citywide, statewide, countrywide.
No story, no in particular moments. They're all horrible.
Here we go. My family always traveled on Christmas Day. My father would gather up the family, including grandmother, and head to Chicago for Christmas with my great aunt, my grandmother's sister. My great aunt's husband had a habit of drinking a little too much and passing out in front of the fire in the front room during family events. I was young, maybe 7, and already used to seeing this. We all had Christmas lunch and then proceeded to open gifts as my great uncle slept in his chair. I would pose by him with my presents for a Polaroid as I did every year.
He's got a G.I. Joe doll sitting on his shoulder. He's got a new Who album.
Sure, he got the G.I. Joe like running up the mountain. That's his shoulder running
right
down.
Yeah, I would.
My uncle usually woke up before we headed home, but this year he did not. The next day, my mother told me that my great uncle has died.
Was he dead in the chair?
Yes.
I assumed he had died the day after Christmas. Over 30 years later, my great aunt told me the truth. My uncle had died in his chair at some point during Christmas Day.
My
great aunt and my grandmother, her sister, decided not to tell anyone so it didn't ruin Christmas.
Whoa! So they knew right there he was dead?
I still have the Polaroid. It is known as the dead Uncle Christmas photo.
I would put
Please scan that and send that in.
I would put that on my Christmas card every year.
Oh.
That would go out somewhere on my Christmas card every year.
Can we put that on our Facebook page? Please send that.
That's a first. A dead relative.
Posing with your dead relative.
I was 22 years old in 1983, and Christmas that year was marred by the death of my grandfather. It was a somber occasion, of course, but it did provide an opportunity for the whole family to get together, something that rarely happened. We all converged on a small town up north after the funeral. A bunch of us went to a local tavern and enjoyed the impromptu reunion, playing pool and darts, laughing and joking and drinking until the wee hours. There were a lot of emotions at play, and on the cold drive back to the house, and alcohol being at play, certainly a factor, when the night ended with me having sex with my 35-year-old cousin.
What? Whoa, what? Funeral.
Sadness.
Lori.
Sex.
Not her real name. It was a Christmas I would never forget, no matter how desperately I tried. We spent the next 30 years avoiding each other and were recently relieved to learn a family secret during another funeral. My Aunt Donna, not her real name, was adopted.
Oh.
Lori and I aren't blood relatives.
Oh, my.
But you didn't know
God.
That.
No, not. No, he didn't
Back
know that at the time. No, he didn't.
Oh. Whoa. Whoa.
There's so much. I would like to know.
How much time? One more?
Wow, that got the room's attention. That, do we have to report that to anybody? Is that
Hi, Donna. How are you?
We got two deaths
Merry
and
Christmas.
One incest, so far, but it wasn't, so...
I'm so happy I'm back.
Yeah, welcome back.
13 years old, Jimmy Carter is president. The energy crisis has very few people with Christmas lights outside, even a week before the big day. It seemed like the dreariest Christmas ever. We had just returned from my sister's dairy farm, and Dad was cheerier than normal. I still had nightmares after witnessing the butchering of several bull calves, calves I had petted and bottle-fed the day before. Dad was thrilled to bring a cooler of veal and gallon jugs filled with fresh blood back to Milwaukee. Mm. He had saved vacation and told me I was in for a Christmas meal fit for the Duke of Poland.
I'm not. He do you understand to make the gallons of blood?
He planned to make a variety of German holiday treats, including his favorite
blood sausage. Yes.
Mom and my older sister baked cookies while Dad feverishly ground fresh veal into a variety of sausages. I gagged watching and smelling it all, still picturing the calves meeting their end. When he began to boil blood for blood sausages, he had a crazed look that bordered on insanity. Dinner that night was a nightmare. Blood sausage and head cheese were our main entrees. Oh. I ate little, said less, and simply watched my father drinking beer after beer, loudly announcing that this was the best Christmas meal ever. He said a second batch of head cheese was in the works, so eat up, plenty more to come. After dinner, I filled up on cookies. Dad sent me downstairs to bring him more beer. Our refrigerator in the basement was filled with Rhinelander and Kingsbury beer, which was the cheapest beer Dad could purchase by the case in returnable bottles. When I opened the fridge, a calf's head sat on a cookie sheet. Its cold, dead eye socket stared at me like something from a horror movie. I screamed like a little girl and raced up the stairs, starting to cry. I had petted that calf. Now... the head was in our basement. I was hysterical and couldn't breathe. Mom kept asking me what was wrong, but I couldn't calm down. Dad came over and admonished me. When he offered me a piece of head cheese as a treat, I vomited Christmas cookies all over his feet. Running to my room, I cried into the pillow, finally falling into a restless sleep. Worst Christmas ever.
Yeah, sounds like it. Holy cow.
But we got through a lot of therapy there.
We did.